Welcome to Back to Luxembourg, a podcast by American-born Luxembourgers about the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg, Luxembourgish America, and the art of citizenship from the Moselle to the Mississippi. It's the 4th of April, 2024, and on this episode, our very first episode, you'll learn who I am, what Back to Luxembourg is all about, and what's in store for future episodes. So pour a glass of wine and come with us, Zurück au Plätzebusch, back to Luxembourg. Since this is the first episode of Back to Luxembourg, introductions are in order. I'm Matthew Foster, the creator and host of this podcast. I'm a 40-something web designer living in Minneapolis with my partner Mark, a Subaru Outback, and our two orange tabby cats. And no, none of that explains why I picked to do a podcast about Luxembourg, of all things. That is a longer story. We'll start with some basics. The Grand Duchy of Luxembourg is a constitutional monarchy wedged between France, Belgium, and Germany in Northwest Europe. Among the world's smallest independent countries, Luxembourg has 680,000 residents and 999 square miles. To put that in terms of American geography, Luxembourg has roughly the same land area as Rhode Island and about the same population as the District of Columbia. Yet, thanks in large part to long-standing commitments to international cooperation, Luxembourg is one of the world's wealthiest countries per capita. A founding member of NATO and the European Union, Luxembourg is today one of the EU's primary administrative centers and home to a lot of corporate offices. This international focus means that out of the 130,000 people who live in Luxembourg City, 70% are foreign residents. So while Luxembourg City and Fargo, North Dakota have about the same number of people, Luxembourg is conspicuously more cosmopolitan than Fargo. The result is that Luxembourg has something of a paradoxical vibe. It's simultaneously quaint and sophisticated. All of this stands in stark contrast to life a few centuries ago. In the 1830s, Luxembourg wasn't exactly in great shape. It was an isolated parochial backwater. An already subpar quality of life was in decline. There was no infrastructure, heavy industry, or banking system. Primary schools didn't exist in a third of the municipalities, and enrollment in the one secondary school was only 176 boys. The main economic sector was agriculture. Although apart from a few famously choice spots, most of the land was ill-suited for farming, particularly with 19th century technology. A big, big chunk of the population was poor, miserably poor, and worked mostly as laborers on farms they didn't own and would never have a chance to own. And yet, despite deficiencies in human, natural, and industrial capital, Luxembourg's size and location were basically the geopolitical equivalent of having a sign taped to its back that said, "Kick me." Luxembourg had been invaded, annexed, chopped up, renamed. Politics were chaotic and the economy unpredictable. The people had been extorted, murdered, and forcibly conscripted. And the primary question for the kings, emperors, generals, and other assorted jerkwads who were in charge seems to have been whether Luxembourg was worth the trouble to actively oppress or if neglecting it was good enough. This is, of course, a grossly oversimplified version of Luxembourg's history, so grain of salt and all that, and we will revisit a lot of this throughout the podcast. For now, however, you get the idea. Until the second half of the 20th century, life in Luxembourg was less than ideal, which is why Luxembourgers did what humans do when life is hard and the future doesn't offer many appealing options. They left. Between 1840 and 1890, one out of every three Luxembourgers emigrated. Many went to neighboring countries, others came to the Americas, mainly to the United States and Brazil. And among those Luxembourgers who found their way to Iowa in the early 1850s were Michael Entringer, Susanna Penny, Peter Schuckel, and Maria Schreiner. My great-great-grandparents. Now, I also have great-great-grandparents from Germany and Canada, but as far as Germany and Canada are concerned, I'm some guy from America, period. The whole great-great-grandparent thing is nice, but legally speaking, falls somewhere between irrelevant and pointless. But Luxembourg takes another approach. Under reasonably common but inflexibly specific conditions, the modern Grand Duchy extends citizenship to qualified descendants of those who emigrated from Luxembourg. So, about 175 years after my great-great-grandparents left, I went back to Luxembourg to declare that I wanted to be a Luxembourger in my own right. A quick sidebar. Determining if you're qualified to claim Luxembourg nationality and submitting the paperwork isn't terribly difficult, although I did have to spend a couple of hundred bucks over a three-month span pleading with the Iowa state government for a single photocopy. That said, the focus of this podcast isn't acquiring nationality. There are a number of groups and online forums that offer guidance for anyone interested. We link to some of them on our website, backto.lu. So, I became a Luxembourger at still doesn't really explain this podcast. I mean, in the last few years, thousands of people in Brazil and the United States have done exactly the same thing. But unlike most people, I'm a civics nerd. By that, I mean I earned a bachelor's degree and most of a master's that will probably remain unfinished forever, studying not only governments and elections, but how the arts and pop culture express national identity. I've looked at how everything from patriotic songs and banknote design to stand-up comedy and action movies contribute to how people think about their country and citizenship. Moreover, I've been infatuated with Northwest Europe since I was a kid. I've traveled more frequently to Belgium and France than anywhere else. I can have a conversation with at least some success in Dutch, German, and French. I eat my fries with mayonnaise. I never go to mass, but my life still seems to synchronize with the Catholic liturgical calendar. I strongly believe even the most humdrum victories must be celebrated with a bottle of sparkling wine. And my two best friends grew up half an afternoon's drive from Luxembourg City, one in the Belgian region of Flanders, the other in Saarland, Germany. So, was I ready to become a Luxembourger? Yeah, I really, really was. Since I began the process of becoming a citizen in October 2022, I've met a number of other people who also have dual citizenship. And the more I talk with my fellow Luxembourgish American Luxembourgers, the more I've noticed a curiosity to know more than what you can find in travel guidebooks and on Wikipedia anyway. But finding extensive information about Luxembourg isn't exactly easy, especially in English, and most people don't have the time or stamina to scour social science journals and hunt through eBay for vinyl copies of long-out-of-print folk albums. Except me. I am the perfect guy for that job. And that is why I'm doing this podcast. I'm curious to understand what makes Luxembourg Luxembourg and what gives Luxembourgers a sense of Luxembourgishness. So I'm taking a deep, deep dive into what makes Luxembourg tick, not just its history and traditions, but the politics and culture of Luxembourg today. We'll look at Luxembourgers on this side of the Atlantic too, the communities that created a distinct Luxembourgish American identity. Now, I'm secure enough as an American to admit that sometimes we can be a bit much. I do not intend to Amero-splain Luxembourg to people in Luxembourg. And I will admit that I'll never be a Luxembourger the same way that someone born and raised there is. For better or for worse, it's unlikely I'll live in Luxembourg, or speak Luxembourgish fluently, or develop a real taste for tripen. But I am a Luxembourger. My heritage was why I could acquire nationality. But when I chose to become a citizen, my identity as a Luxembourger was no longer wholly defined by that heritage. As I said before, I have great-great-grandparents from Germany and Canada too, but that doesn't mean anything to Germany or Canada. Luxembourg sees me differently, so I see Luxembourg differently. For me, citizenship obliges me to learn about and engage with the country as it is today. Other people may not share that feeling, and that's okay too. There are as many ways to be a citizen as there are citizens. But creating my own ties to Luxembourg feels like part of the deal, even if it's from a distance, even if I have no idea where it's headed, because that feels like good citizenship to me. And that's why I'm doing this, in part. But I'm also doing it because it's fun, and because it's an interesting academic exercise, and because I simply like Luxembourg. A lot. Because once you start digging, Luxembourg can be as surprising as it is small. Yes, it's frequently overlooked and sometimes a little shady. It still has a parochial side, and it's occasionally stodgy. But as we will discover, Luxembourg is also charming, offbeat, dynamic, forward-thinking, admirably self-assured, and above all, resilient. Next time on Back to Luxembourg, we'll discuss the history and symbolism of Luxembourg's flag and national anthem, or rather, Luxembourg's three flags and two anthems. And my fellow condiment enthusiast, non-Luxembourger Jill, joins me to conduct an extremely objective scientific test to definitively identify which mayonnaise pairs best with French fries. Will the winner be from the US, Japan, Belgium, or Luxembourg? Look for that episode on Thursday, April 18. Visit our website at back2.lu for more information and to get in touch. Remember to subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice, and if you like the episode, please leave a review. Thanks very much for listening. I'm Matthew Foster. Until next time, adiento, bis später, and of course, Eddie.